We begin with Ian Brenner, though. He's founder of the Eurasia Group, a political research and consulting firm. His new book is called Superpower: Three Choices for America's Role in the World. Ian Brenner, welcome back to The Takeaway.
John, always good to be with you.
So, Ian, part of the theme of this book is we need more clarity coming from Washington and coming from the American government as far as foreign governments are concerned. Is that to say that the American government needs to be more honest or just needs to speak more clearly?
Well, we need a purpose. We need a mission. I mean, I think the purpose of the book, we remain the world's only superpower. That is utterly clear as I'm sitting in the studio and watching record highs in the markets yet again. And yet we don't really know what it means. We don't know what we stand for. The American people no longer know what it is the United States is supposed to be doing around the world. And Lord knows our allies, therefore, are very confused. And that's created all sorts of headlines that make it very clear that even though the United States is not in decline, American foreign policy influence very much is.
So what should we do? You have three basic points that you want to make. What I'd like to do is focus on one serious contradiction in American values and in American policy that you point to again and again in this great book. The mission of the American government to protect Americans, to keep us secure, and the mission of the American government to protect values of freedom. It seems to me they are fundamentally at odds. If you look at the NSA, the surveillance of the American people by the NSA, and the notion that Americans expect that we're going to be protected from terrorism. Those are irreconcilable policy aims at this point, it seems.
They're becoming much more so, especially because the American government has been seen to be lying about them, both in terms of the extent of American surveillance abroad and also within the United States. And there are perfectly legitimate reasons to take either of those paths to say, look, you know, terrorism is an enormous concern. We have the best cyber capabilities in the world. That's going to mean giving up significant amounts of our own personal liberties, and it also means taking unilateral steps internationally, even if that means allies are going to be upset, like Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, when we're spying on her. You can say that. You can do that. That's very different from a policy that says, actually, you know, we can't protect every single American at all times, but we can stand up for what we believe to be American values, the ones that were enshrined in our Declaration of Independence, and the ones that are written on the Statue of Liberty. I mean, you mentioned the contradictions around surveillance. We could talk about the contradictions in Syria. We have 4 million refugees. America so far has taken in 355. That number to me seems low, and yet there's no one on the 2016 scene running for president that has remotely begun to even address that issue.
Do people around the world have a fatigue with American talk about democracy? We had some African writers in the studio a few days ago who were saying, we're sick and tired of the American talk of democracy, that we want policies that matter in the sort of ways in which we do things in our own countries, and America just doesn't seem to get that. Do you think that we need to lead with our values but not preach a certain kind of democracy when we talk about interventions around the world? And let's speak of Syria.
What's very clear is that if we are going to speak about values, we have to actually back them up. What we've been doing is continuing to speak about values while not actually adhering to them at home and not being willing to actually put muscle into it abroad. I mean, we talk about sovereignty in Ukraine, but we're not going to actually provide the kind of support to the Ukrainians that would lead them to enforce it, nor are we going to punish the Russians sufficiently or the countries that are helping the Russians, like China, that's going to make the Russians take it seriously. If we wanted to talk about democracy in Syria, we'd have to actually be prepared to spend the kind of money long-term and also send the kind of forces on the ground that would allow us to speak with some level of seriousness and commitment. We're not prepared to do that. Much more likely is what we see in places like Hong Kong, where we say we're very concerned that the Chinese government is abrogating their deal to allow the Hong Kong Chinese to actually vote for their leaders, but we're clearly not going to do anything about it. That's why I think you're getting this sense of both irritation and profound disappointment from countries and people around the world. And you can see it last week when Obama invites six Gulf state leaders to come and have a summit with them, and the week beforehand four decide they're not going to show up, or today when you have for the first time the Russians in history, the Russians and the Chinese doing joint military exercises in the Mediterranean. I can give you so many of these headlines. It's very obvious that what the Americans have to say internationally just isn't carrying the weight it has historically.
Well, the great thing about Ian Bremmer's book, Superpower, Three Choices for America's Role in the World, is that he does not believe the complexity has outstripped the ability of Washington to handle some of these problems. I highly recommend it. Ian Bremmer is the founder of the Eurasia Group, a political research and consulting firm. Thanks so much, Ian.
My pleasure, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.